This is 3CR here at Musgrove Park in Brisbane, where we're only a block away from the convention centre, where the leaders and economists of the G20 are meeting this coming weekend. We've got much more important guests than the leaders of the G20 here today on our show. We're going to be talking to Auntie Hazel from the Sovereign Grannies Group, and also maybe to Auntie Karen as well, who's stepped away from the kitchen for a moment. We're talking today to the Sovereign Grannies in the lead up to the Stop Stealing Our Children rally, which is happening today in Brisbane. I'm going to say welcome to Auntie Karen. How are you this morning?
Good.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your involvement with the group and how that began?
Well, in 2010, I had a phone call. My daughter rang me up. She said, "Mum, they came in and they took the baby away." I said, "Who came?" She said, "The welfare came and took my baby when I was breastfeeding." So I had to rush up to the hospital. Soon as my daughter rang me up, my memory went back to a story my mum told me. In the mission, they were swimming out of water hole. And then they came down to take the children away. They took her sister away because she was fair skin. And straight away, I went back to that story when my daughter told me they took the baby away. So I had to rush up to the hospital and Department of Child Safety and my grandchild in their care.
So that was in 2008?
10.
10. Yeah. And you've been... When did the group actually begin to form and begin to get organised to fight against the child removal?
I'm a supporter of the Brisbane Sovereign 10 Embassy. I go there every Wednesday around the fire. We meet 6 o'clock. People was coming around the fire talking about their problems with child safety. And I said to the crew, I said, "Look, it's getting too much. We need to find a space up at Jagra." We went up there and we started forming our Sovereign Grannies group. And then in between that, I had an invitation to go down to Sydney. And I'm standing there in Sydney, Auntie Hazel from Canada, she was down there protesting against the removal of her grandchildren, and I'm standing next to Paddy Gibson. I said, "Hey, brother, look around." He said, "Yeah, Aunt." I said, "We got Brisbane, we got Perth, we got Darwin, we got Brisbane, we got Sydney, we got Canada, we got Maury, we got everyone here. What do you think? We should join a national group." So he said, "Yeah, that'll be deadly, eh?" So a week after, he rings me back, he said, "We formed it." So we got a national group, and we support each other. I went up to... I've been up to Perth. Sorry, I'm ready to go to Perth. I've been up to Darwin. I've been down to Tamworth. You know, just standing in solidarity with the mob, because it's not only happening in Brisbane, it's happening in all our communities. Like I say, how can we heal? Why say sorry? Sorry in one hand, and take our children on the other hand. You know, no, we are calling our children home. If we don't do it, who's going to do it for us? They're not going to do it. They are only the gatekeepers. Our people are the gatekeepers. They're the one who are holding back and keeping our children.
Can only... It seems like there hasn't been much coverage in the mainstream media of just the scale of the child removal and actually how widespread it is in Australia. Do you want to talk about a little bit about how how much this is going on.
Yeah, it's going on daily basis, and media, you know, they won't, like, do footages of it. When they do, they just show the bad sides of it, you know, like, oh, they're going into Doc's office to attack them. We got a sister here from Perth. She's going to fly back on the 17th because she was arrested on the day they call Sorry Day. Our sister went in there to ask to talk to the Minister of Child Safety, and she was arrested, so she's got to go back to court. This is what they do to us, you know, and they don't allow us to speak. But you know what I say? We shall not be silent anymore. Because our old people, they weren't allowed to talk about their traumas. They lived with trauma. They lived with it because they done that to them. The white system done that. You know, they threatened them. But today we can speak because we are free people. We are allowed to speak. We've got a voice. And we're going to tell the world how we are treated. We are treated like years ago when our old people was treated. We're still carrying that. But the difference is we got a voice today. And we are going to yell out today and show the world who we are and what we are about.
Yeah, you guys you're very organized as well. I think that seems to be a difference from the previous generation. There was very little ability to organize across states and across mobs to bring them together to fight the child removal. But you have that now. But for the listeners in our listenership in kind of urban Melbourne, they might not have much of an idea that there's currently 14,000 Indigenous children that are out of home and within the so-called child protection system. And there's a rally today which is Stop Stealing Our Children, which, again, it's must be very hard to be having to do this. Like, tell the government, stop stealing our children in this day and age. We're going to go to a song now, and hopefully after the break we're going to talk to Auntie Hazel. You're listening to 3CR, 855 AM.
I came back to Alice Springs. Had a journey's end, and I walk a long, long way with you, a long, long time, my friend. Now I know where you are, you're in this special place, and as I gaze upon your photograph, I see your smiling face. I am laying here beneath the sky so big and wide. And at night you look up at the stars, they've always been your guide. I am laying here in this land where the tide river seldom flows. You're between the little sisters, and the planes that come and go. Well, I remember when we met all those years ago, and I didn't know what lay in store. How could I know? But I wouldn't change it for the world, 'cause you give me so much more. Give me so much for my friend, that's what friends are for. I am laying here beneath the sky so big and high. night you look up at the stars, they've always been your guide. Oh, you're laying here in this land where the tide rivers seldom flow. You're between the little sisters and the plains that come and go. Well, it's sad to say goodbye, I know, but I'll be back again. And I'll see the little sisters when I'm flying in on that plane. I'm glad you know it's called you back where the caterpillars train. Now you walk the land and lost, my friend, the way it should have been. I lay him beneath the sky so big and wide. And at night you look up at the stars, they've always been your guide. I lay here in this land where the tide rivers seldom flow. Between the little sisters and the planes that come and go. You're between the little sisters and the planes that come and go.
Hello and welcome back to 3CR, broadcasting live from Musgrove Park in Brisbane. We were just talking to Auntie Karen from the Sovereign Grannies group, and we're going to talk now to Auntie Hazel, who is one of the Sovereign Grannies, and we're going to talk to Liv Nigro, who is working and has been working with the Grannies group for a while now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, dear.
Thanks, John.
Maybe Auntie Hazel, if you'd maybe like to give our listeners in Melbourne a little background about yourself and how you began getting involved with the, or how you started the Grannies group.
I'm Auntie Hazel from Gunnedah, and in January this year there were little children being removed, babies, from my area, and like this is an historical thing that's been happening for many, many years. And there comes a point where, at some time, you have to stand up and make people accountable. So we started this little Grandmothers Against Removal group, and we've been rallying since the 13th of February this year and demanding that this system stop, that no longer should children be removed from their families and communities, and make docs accountable for what's happening, and give power back to Aboriginal communities. And since that time, we've had many rallies, we've had many demands that we've placed on docs, and because of the pressure of these rallies, docs are now starting to sit down at the round table and talk to us so that we have power over our own communities and our own children and their future, because they are our future. And it's more importantly, though, it's to give the voice to those little children, because if we don't give them a voice, they're silenced, and this is going to continue. And that's why we're here today rallying further to bring out to the public and to the world at the G20 that we're no longer, as Aboriginal people, going to stay silent, that this has to be publicised, brought to the world of what's happening to our children and to bring our children home. Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely there's a silence around the scale of the removal that is happening at the moment. Like, it's such enormous increase in children being taken away from their families. Has your work with the Grannies group involved a lot of learning about how DOCS works, or how the various child protection agencies in each state actually operate?
It is complex, but the one thing that we see historically welfare, when they was called welfare back in the day when I was growing up. You know, we all remember those times, and we can't take away the pain and suffering. But what we can do is validate. They have a right to that pain and suffering. They have a right to that anger. And these government organisations that legalise the theft of Aboriginal children, they need to be made accountable. And it's our little children that are going to be our future. They need to be protected against these organisations that steal our children, because that's what they do. They come into our homes with police, traumatise the families, the little children, what they go through when they're removed. No child should ever have to suffer. And if we don't stop this now, we're doing a great injustice to ourselves as a people and our little children.
Is it harder to get children back once they've been taken away? Like, is there work on trying to stop the removals, I guess, before they happen? Because once they get in the system, it's more difficult?
Once they get in the system, they put them under the minister till they're 18. And there are families out there that have fought for many, many years to bring their children home, and they're still fighting. We parent different to the rest of Australia. It's a traditional thing where children are co-parented by the community. And that's the way it is. But we're deemed unsuitable. Why? You ask the question many times, why am I not suitable? You don't get the answers. You have these people coming in with police aiding and abetting the theft of Aboriginal children, and it's legalised. Sometimes the older people, they pass over before they even ever see their babies again. How are these little babies going to grow up knowing where they come from, where they are in life and where they're going? They lose the essence of who they are because they don't grow up with culture. They take them out of country, and even if they put them with Aboriginal people, they're still out of country. It's not where they come from. They need to remain in community with their families. If they put them with community, often they divide the community down the middle because they put these restrictions on that you can't see the little ones. So that in itself divides the community. And this is something that needs to stop. We love these children. We protect them. It is up to us as elders to teach them about their ancestors, about their culture. Because if those ancestors didn't stand up and fight many, many years ago, we wouldn't be here today. And the fact that we are here today, still fighting for the rights of our children and us as Aboriginal people, it shows very clearly that there is still problems with government, and it's all about them having control over us, and it's up to us as Aboriginal people to demand that we get that control back.
Yeah, I'd like to say something after those really powerful words, Auntie. I think it's really important for listeners to understand that the numbers of Aboriginal children who have been forcibly removed from their families at this point in history is higher than at any previous time. At the moment, across Australia, there are almost 14,000 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in out-of-home care, and that is absolutely unprecedented. In New South Wales, we have a situation where there is 1 in 10 Aboriginal children in out-of-home care. Now, I think when people say this is an ongoing stolen generation, it's not just an ongoing stolen generation, it's actually an accelerating catastrophe of ongoing stolen generation. And I think that, you know, in terms of why this is happening, like Auntie said, you know, docs essentially is still pursuing an agenda of assimilation. And I think you can see that broadly across the whole spectrum of Indigenous policy in this country, that assimilation and paternalism is alive and well, and it's certainly reflected in communities with the dynamics of hyper-surveillance. You know, you've got docs, they can walk into anyone's house at any moment and look in the cupboard, and if they don't like what they see in the cupboard, they can remove the children. They can walk into anyone's house, look in their chest of drawers. If they don't think the, you know, the clothes are neatly folded, if it looks like there's some neglect that they perceive, which is often just a term terminology for prejudice, then they can remove children. And I've actually had lawyers in the course of this movement say that docs caseworkers have much more power than even police officers. And we've heard of cases where police officers have actually opposed the removal of children because they have perceived no risk and they have been overridden by docs workers. So I think that, you know, understanding that the kinds of powers that these workers have in the department are absolutely unacceptable. Their removals are certainly not evidence-based in a significant number of cases. And I think that it is absolutely imperative at this historical moment for people to get behind the Grandmothers Against Removals, you know, network, not just in New South Wales, but understanding that this has become a national movement. You know, Grandmothers Against Removals New South Wales joined up with the Brisbane Sovereign Grannies Group, joined up with the Noongar Tent Embassy and Mob in Alice Springs as well. And now there is a national network, the National Aboriginal Strategic Alliance to Bring the Children Home, that are pushing this across the country, that there needs to be a national consciousness about the savage racism and assimilation that continues, you know, to exist in the structures of governance, whether that's the police force, whether that's the Department of Family and Community Services in New South Wales or other child protection agencies across the country. So, you know, I think it's really inspiring to see that today there's going to be a national mobilisation here in Brisbane to bring, like Auntie said, to the international community's attention that this is certainly a national catastrophe.
Yeah, it's pretty scary that what police would normally have to do if they want to come into your house is they have to have warrants. If they want to charge you, they have to have evidence-based briefs. And there's, you know, obviously there's a lot of problem with the police, but there's a certain things that it seems like docs can do that police would never be able to get away with. The police cannot take your children just by looking in your cupboard and making a decision about your parenting skills. We're going to talk more to Auntie Hazel and Liv. We're just going to go to a song now. You're listening to 3CR live from Musgrove Park. Stay tuned.
Facts reveal what we believe are true. Yes, we're tearing our world all to pieces. Now, Mother, the earth is dying slow. She won't survive, she can't go on living. Destruction to all life form that we know. There's a light shining bright in the sky throughout the night. It's always there for you and me. As I sit outside in the dark, in the sky, when a streak of light fell from the heaven, just like a teardrop falling from my mother's eye. Yes, I know how much we'd all like to help her. Struggling there. we're back together. So our children and their children can survive.
Welcome back to 3CR, live from Musgrove Park. We're here today talking to Auntie Hazel from the Sovereign Grannies group. Auntie Hazel, we were just talking about your proposal that you're currently putting to DOCS to work with them to stop child removals and keep children in communities. Can you expand on that a little bit for our listeners?
It's called the Expert Committee that we've put a proposal toward DOCS, so that we're looking at the children that DOCS have got their eye on, so that they don't, before any removal, that they work with this committee to keep these little children within community, within families. And so that family, not just the parents, but the children as well, they're looked at as a whole, because DOCS come in, they take the little ones, they don't look at the family as a whole. There's perceived ideas that there are risks. Often the families aren't told what those risks are. The whole name, you know, family and community services is an absolute joke to me, because they don't work with families. They don't work with communities to keep these families together. What they do, though, is they come in, they rip families, they rip communities apart and traumatise the whole family and community, because these are our children. No matter where in Australia they are, they're still Aboriginal children. They belong to us. So this is what this committee is designed to do, to look at the family as a whole. If there is an issue, we deal with it as a community. We get assistance for that family. If respite needs to happen for those parents, then it is the responsibility of family and community, our family, our community, not DOCS, to care for those little ones. We don't need them coming in, telling us what to do, telling us how to parent, how to look after our children. We over their protection laws. We want control of the care and protection of our children, our families, our communities. And through this committee, we will have the power to do that. Aboriginal people need to stand up and get out there and have a voice and be the voice of our little children, because we don't neglect our children. DOCS neglect, traumatise and abuse our children.
Yeah, it's such important work, and the struggle is really powerful and really inspiring. Unfortunately, we have to wrap it up and leave it there today. Thank you very much, Auntie Karen, Auntie Hazel, Liv.
Thank you,
darling. You're on 3CR, and we're going to catch you later this afternoon, back live from Musgrove Park at 5:30. Catch ya.
And we've been listening to 3CR's live broadcast from Musgrove Park, and that was Sean Bezard talking to Auntie Karen and Auntie Hazel from the Sovereign Grannies from Brisbane.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.